You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Everyone, and welcome to the Gym Class here on KGYM. Great to have you with us as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Ben on the other side of the glass, and you, our listener, the most important part of the equation. We thank you for joining us here today. We are presented by DUPACO Community Credit Union. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to DUPACO.com. We got a great show for you. Later on in the hour, KJ Pilcher, the Gazette, will join us, and we'll talk high school wrestling. We'll talk Iowa State wrestling. Big day, a historic day, if you will, as far as the Iowa High School Athletic Association. We'll talk all about that with KJ Pilcher of the Gazette here in just a little bit, and looking forward to doing that. Iowa Duke coming up tonight, part of the Jimmy V Classic. We've got it for you, the national broadcast from ESPN. That is game number 2. Game number 1, not too bad in its own right. It'll be a top 25 battle. Number 2 Texas taking on top 25 Illinois before Iowa and Duke will go at it at MSG, the world's most famous arena, coming up tonight. 319-366-1600 is the text line. Phone line as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone, give us a call. 319-366-1600. And we're coming your way on 1600 AM as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker as well. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Ben on the other side of the glass, and the portal never stops. Mark, good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon to everyone. You're quite right about that. And we've got some news in that regard that we'll bring to you. Anxious to talk to KJ about that Iowa State wrestling meet and more. And, yeah, kind of an interesting day in for high school football.
Yeah, and we'll get to all that coming up. But we do have some news over the last 15 minutes or so. Another Hawkeye has put his name into the transfer portal. This time it is special teams ace and defensive back Terry Roberts, who just announced that he is going to be going into the transfer portal. And, you know, thinking about this one, I mean, Iowa's got very good defensive backs. There's talk that Cooper DeJean's going to move full-time to corner next year. The Jamari Harris going to be back. Maybe this was a situation where Roberts was looking for perhaps a little bit more playing time. I don't know. That obviously is the decision that he and his staff and his family made. So I guess I can see that one. The one last night with Justin Jacobs, that is the one that has really floored a lot of Hawkeye fans out there. And quite frankly, it left me with my head scratching because I think he was ticketed for big things next year.
I think that is the most impactful move to the transfer portal for Iowa. You could say Padilla to a certain extent. But Jacobs, when healthy, I mean, he and Benson and Campbell formed a terrific linebacking trio, and now all are gone for next year. It's going to be an entirely new crew. Terry Roberts hurt much of the year. He's a good player.
Mm-hmm.
Good player, especially on special teams. You know, you have Xavier Wampa ready for more action.
Yeah. As of the moment.
As of the moment. So, the circumstances continue to change for not only Iowa, but almost everybody else in the country.
Yeah, and I hate saying the Clemson quarterback is now in the portal as well after a couple star-crossed years with Dabo Sweeney down at Clemson. So, yeah, Braylon Allen is staying, though, the Wisconsin running back. Made that announcement on Twitter earlier on today. 319-366-1600. That is a text line if you'd like to weigh in and be a part of the program here today. Love to hear from you. Love to have you, whatever your comment may be, as we come your way here from the Circa Sports Iowa studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Basketball front and center tonight, though, the Jimmy V Classic at Madison Square Garden. Game one, Illinois and Texas. We concentrate a little bit more on game number two, Iowa and the Duke Blue Devils. Certainly no strangers to one another over the years. These two basketball programs have been going at it for the better part of three decades, on and off. And this should be a very interesting game tonight at Madison Square Garden. You've got a Duke team that has what's new? They've got a lot of five stars. They've got a lot of components. They've got a lot of people that can score the basketball. You don't know who is going to go and be the guy on any specific evening, although their brand new freshman, Kyle Filipkowski, is kind of the alpha dog, if you will, as a freshman. And this kid is taken right from the mold of Christian Laettner and others right there, as far as the Duke Blue Devils are concerned. Tall, lanky, can go inside, can shoot it outside. He's going to be a problem tonight for the Hawkeyes.
Yeah, I think the front line is going to be a problem for Iowa. They go 7'1", 7 foot, 6'10", or can. Filipkowski, recruited by Iowa.
And everybody else.
And everybody else. Fran McCaffrey describes him as a lottery pick. I think that Iowa will employ some zone tonight.
Yep.
And maybe not a, outlandish comment, but I think it's going to have to. And it needs good guard play. And it's going to need more than Chris Murray. Iowa's going to have to hit some shots from the outside when open. It's a tough draw, no doubt about it, matchup-wise. Duke has two losses, one to Purdue. Did beat Ohio State. So very much looking forward to both games, actually.
Yeah, they're going to be good. Both games from Madison Square Garden are going to be good. And Matt Fairfax on the text line, Rabracha is going to have his hands full with Filipkowski. Sanford and the bench going to need to be on. I'm going to throw Patrick McCaffrey in there. And you just take a look at how this Iowa basketball team has performed this year. There's that one guy who seemingly always has to have a good game. When he doesn't have a good game, things don't go well. That seems to be Patrick McCaffrey this year. The TCU game did not score very much at all. And when he is on, Iowa's a very tough matchup. Very tough matchup. I think Iowa can get out and run against Duke a little bit. I think they're going to try to up-tempo it tonight. If I'm Duke, if I'm John Shire, I try to take that shot clock down, make it a shortened game, and just pound it and pound it and pound it. Even if Iowa is in a zone, which I think they will play a lot tonight, I think you try to pound it inside, try to get Rabracha in foul trouble. I got to think you see Ogundele tonight for Iowa more than what we have seen. We'll see. We'll see. But you know what? This helps Iowa to get ready for the Big Tens. It's going to be a win or lose, a good situation to go out and play Duke.
I think it is. It's somewhat surprising, but not totally, that Iowa accepted this game. The fact that it's the Jimmy V Classic, knowing what Patrick McCaffrey went through half a dozen years ago, I'm sure that'll be a topic that Dickie V tackles tonight.
He will be on the call on TV, by the way.
Yes, sir. And I say that because Iowa plays Iowa State on Thursday. This is a late game. Getting back either tonight or tomorrow morning, and a quick turnaround for a big, big game against Iowa State. So Fran McCaffrey talked about that situation, and I think he thinks so highly of what Dickie V does in his foundation. As you mentioned, we had a chance to visit with him in Riverside when he was there a few years ago. Fascinating organization, fascinating guy. So largely I'm not surprised that Iowa accepted the game, knowing that Iowa State is on the horizon.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. 319-366-1600. I can't answer that question, 9663. Why is Duke only favored by 2.5 tonight? I think Iowa is very well thought of. And Iowa can score points against a lot of teams. So neutral court as well. This was at Cameron. I mean, Duke's probably, what, a 7-8 point favorite, wouldn't
mm-hmm,
you say?
Mm-hmm.
And it was probably in Iowa City, maybe an even game right in there. So I can see 2.5 and 3. I don't think that's too far off anyway. A lot of things on the text line. 319-366-1600. I didn't know if Mark was going to get to this in the scoreboard or not, but ladies and gentlemen, get ready for team number 4 as Matt in Cedar Rapids lets us know JT Daniels, the oft-traveled quarterback, is moving again. 7th season he will play college football next year and his 4th school. Let's hear it for sitting out years. Oh, you don't have to anymore. USC, Georgia, West Virginia, and now to a new school for one final year. He says, seriously? I agree with you, Matt.
The height of ridiculous. It really is.
Talking about the portal, 6881. I don't know, but what stops all the players from going to the portal, then coming back trying to get more NIL money? Nothing. Just because Terry Roberts, Justin Jacobs goes into the portal does not mean they are leaving. They can come back. Now, that is a rarity. They can come back, however. And if it is an NIL situation, then don't know what you can do other than up the ante a little bit. But schools have more money, and it's becoming more and more of a chasm each passing day with schools that the haves and the have-nots, if you will.
1553 on the text line. If there are so many spots on a roster, what happens to all the players in the portal that don't get picked? Well, they have the option, as you described, to return to school, original school. From there, I don't know. They have a problem. And what is there, 700-900 players in the portal right now?
Yeah. And it's going to be by the time, you know, by the time tomorrow ends, it's going to be over 1,000. So it's just moving right there. Troy, I felt bad for you last night watching the end of that game. I have still no idea how the Tampa Bay Buccaneers won that game last night. No idea. Troy says, I don't watch bad football anymore, so did not waste my time last night. Sounds like the same stuff I grew up watching with Bum Phillips, Mike Ditka, Jim Mora, and Hazlitt, now cheering for Cincy and the Eagles moving forward this year. Not the Chiefs. Come on, Troy, there's room. There's room.
Probably best for your health, Troy.
Probably. Yeah. Tell you what, give Tom Brady, I guess, all the credit in the world, because Tampa looked listless and lifeless in that game until the last 3 minutes, and then here they come. By the way, don't take a look at that last play and watch how far one of the Tampa Bay linemen was downfield. Don't do that. At least 6 yards. But number 12 is quarterbacking. Number 12.
60-28, JT Daniels is the Jordan Bolanin of college football. Except that Jordan only played at one school.
Yeah, JT Daniels is looking for school number 4.
I mean, Spencer Lee's in his 6th year.
True.
Right?
And
Max Muren is,
Max
what,
Muren
10th
is in
year?
His 6th year. Yeah, no, very much full. 11:56, how long until we have player arbitration hearings for college football? He says, seriously, we need guys in Iowa who want to be at Iowa. I don't think it's going to come down to player arbitration or anything like that, but I never would have pictured 20 years ago that players would be getting paid millions of dollars to play at a school.
Never say never.
So there you go. If a player goes into a portal, can the school not welcome them back? Sure. You can do anything you want. Do anything you want. If they say they're leaving and want to come back, it's up to the school to welcome them back. Cyclone Tim says, I feel for Troy watching my Vikings. I feel like I'm 106 years old. Yeah, yes, Tim, because the Vikings this year have been very tough on the old ticker going down to the wire with their 8 wins by one score or more. Hey, might be the Vikings' year. You never
Detroit
know.
Is favored over the Vikings this week, and that's one of the games we're going to pick on the Emo's Hideaway Pick 6 as we have a lull between the end of the college football regular season and the start of bowl games. Yeah. It's going to be a fun game, I think.
Detroit is not. They're fun. Tell you what, they are a fun football team. Getting doing good things. 319-366-1600. One more here, 1207, talking about college football. We're getting really close to an even more irrelevant bowl season. With so many players in the portal across the board, we're looking at some seriously watered-down matchups. Well, we talked about this yesterday a little bit. Mark, Iowa and Kentucky, and now, yes, it doesn't mean a whole lot, but the CBS Sports breakdown of bowls, ranking them from 1 through 41 as far as being relevant or irrelevant. I was expecting Iowa, Kentucky to be about 25 through 30, and it ends up being number 17. I think that tells you something about the bowl picture this year. And with, tell you what, with the college football playoff expanding in a couple of years to 12, you're going to see these bowls such as, you know, pick your bowl, the Boca Raton or the Guaranteed Rate or whatever the case may be, are going to become even more irrelevant down the line. Hate to say that, but that's kind of the case. It's kind of the case. Thanks for the picture, Troy, of the grandson. Looks good. Looks good. He doesn't know what to do with that turkey leg, though. Oh, appreciate that. 319-366-1600 at 321. We're going to talk to KJ Pilcher in about 10 minutes or so and talk wrestling and other topics with KJ coming up here in just a little bit. And I apologize to our listeners. Yesterday, I mentioned that I was going to turn it over to Mark for the results of the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6. We ran out of time yesterday. We're going to get to that on the scoreboard, correct, Mark?
Correct.
Okay, we'll do that at the scoreboard coming up in just a little bit. Do want to get to this piece of news today as well, and we'll ask KJ his thoughts about this because he covers high school football. But a historic day today in Boone with the Iowa High School Athletic Association. And this thought first came up 10 years ago with then City High coach Dan Sabers, who came up with an idea to introduce socioeconomics into classifications as far as high school football is concerned. I'm not going to say it was put on the back burner or anything like that for a number of years, but it was not certainly implemented. But today, the Board of Control, the Iowa High School Athletic Association, announcing that for the first time, socioeconomic factors such as partial and free lunches for students at schools is now going to go into the classification process as far as football is concerned. It only deals with football now. Quite frankly, Mark, if you will, the canyon between the haves and the have-nots in football is growing on the high school front. There are very few close games anymore, and it's a formula that several states have used, and in our area, in our region, the Minnesota High School State League has adopted this. It's a, I believe it's a 40% of your free and partial and free lunch program students that will factor into your number of students, and then they will take that figure off of the actual number, and that's the way they will determine the 7 classes.
What you need to know about this, and Jeff Linder of the Gazette really spelled it out terrifically in his online story for the Gazette, is you need to be familiar with BEDS numbers, Board of Education. those are enrollment figures for grades 9 through 11 in any given year. And then you need to know about free and reduced lunch figures, what each school percentage of those enrollments are on free and reduced lunch. I want to credit Jeff Linder here. Let's go through the metro area. Jefferson will be most impacted. Jefferson has enrollment of 1189, grades 9 through 11 for this school year. 62.8% of the enrollment is on free and reduced lunch, which takes its beds document of 1189 down to 890 on the adjusted document, which could result in Jefferson dropping a class. We'll see. Kennedy's free and reduced lunch, 32.9. Prairie, 30.5. Washington, 52.8. Linmar, 20.8. Marion, 27%. Those are free and reduced lunch percentages. In Iowa City, City High is 40.1 free and reduced lunch. Liberty, 25.2. Iowa City West, 35.1. So the higher your free and reduced lunch figures are, is going to impact your classification potentially next year. The lower the free and reduced lunch, thus the socioeconomic factor, that will have less impact.
Correct. And to answer 8683's question on the text line, so I don't understand, what does free and reduced lunch have to do with football? A whole bunch, because of the opportunities that schools that have less amount of free and reduced lunch. I mean, it's just the way it is. It's, if you put this as an example, college football, Ohio State and let's say
Troy,
not Cajun Troy in the Sun Belt. Ohio State has a lot more facilities. They have a lot more opportunities. They have more cash flow. They've got everything more. And that is what we're facing right now. And it's getting worse and worse each year between the haves and the have-nots, if you will, as far as high school football is concerned. They're trying to help decrease that chasm, if you will, between those two.
Well, to answer the 86-83's question, and you addressed it, free and reduced lunch is one measuring stick of a school's socioeconomic status. I mean, if you lived in this metro area for any length of time, you can pretty much guess. And I gave you the figures of the metro area in Iowa City, who has the most free and reduced lunches in its population and otherwise. So that's one. And Minnesota's used this, as you mentioned.
Yes, Minnesota is the closest school that has used this formula.
Yeah. So what it has to do with football? I don't know if it will level the playing field, but it could help.
It'll help. It's not going to level it completely. This, along with the new schedule models that they put together last year. Take a look at Davenport West. Davenport West made the playoffs for the first time in over 30 years last year, helped out by some of the changes that have been made. So I think it's a help. Is it a perfect system? No, but there, as we have said many times, there's never going to be a perfect system out here. We don't know the figures for the private schools. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yes.
At least according to Jeff's article.
Yeah. Affects the smaller classes in the same way, but there are a lot less students as far as Class A and 1A are concerned, Mark. So that's not going to be quite... let's face it, this is more of a 5A, 4A thing.
I think so.
Especially 5A, because, like we said, you're seeing so many 35-point games now, and they want to just try to get this a little bit more equal and a little bit more fair. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program, and it will change every 2 years, Troy, yes. That has not changed.
And it's only for football right now.
Only for football.
They're going to examine what impact, if any, it would have on other sports.
Correct. It is only for football right now. 319-366-1600. Want to let you know that the latest and the next edition of the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6, that is going to be coming up on Friday. Your chance to win a $30 gift card to Emil's Hideaway. If you hitch your wagon up to the top prognosticator, and this past week, Mark, let us know how that came out.
I will indeed. You want me to go through the whole scoreboard
right now?
Go ahead.
It was a beautiful scoreboard.
It was. The pick six results, we neglected to give them to you yesterday. Somewhat sheepishly.
Keep in mind, this is an expert panel.
Sheepishly, I will accept the fact that I won. Very odd week. All four panelists were 2-4, but I won the tiebreaker by shading Dave by a point in the total points in the Chiefs game. So 3 weeks in a row, hook up to me. That's your answer.
You know the tiebreaker.
More on the scoreboard in college football. Iowa place kicker Drew Stevens and running back Caleb Johnson, both named freshman All-America by College Football News. And finally, in professional basketball, UNI's A.J. Green had 12 points in 10 minutes last night for the Milwaukee Bucks. A very impactful line for him. And Luka Garza, 44 points and 16 rebounds for the Iowa Wolves last night in the G League. He's bounced back and forth between the NBA and the G League. We talked earlier, he's too good for the G League and maybe not quite. I mean, it's tough to crack that Timberwolves rotation.
It is.
No doubt about it. But you got to think if Luka can do this in the G League, if he could find a spot and get more playing time in the NBA.
Yeah, very true. Very true. And, yeah, boy, Luka, I don't know what else he can do down in the G League. He's been tremendous. And A.J. Green was tremendous last night in that game for the Milwaukee Bucks. We're going to get a weather update and a quick break. We'll come back. And when we do, K.J. Pilcher will join us. Plenty to talk about with K.J. We'll do it after this. You're listening to The Gym Class right here on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on The Gym.
From the CBS 2 Iowa's News Now with the first forecast. Center I'm meteorologist Nick Stewart. Mainly cloudy skies throughout the night tonight. Temperatures dropping down into the mid-20s for your Wednesday. Bit of fog early in the day, otherwise turning mostly sunny in the afternoon. Back in the mid-40s for highs. On Thursday, we're watching rain entering the picture late morning and through the afternoon, changing over into a wintry mix in the evening hours. High temperatures in the upper 30s. On Friday, some snow showers will linger early in the morning, otherwise mainly cloudy, high near 40. And that was a check of your Iowa's News Now with the first forecast.
Love is about tomorrow, a promise of growing together through time. The Dickens family understands that. It's why, at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, though every proposal is special, there's still something extra special about a holiday engagement. Maybe you plan to present that dazzler down on one knee. Perhaps it'll wait silently in a stocking. Or maybe you've made intricate plans no one could even guess. No matter how you plan to pop the question this season, Hertin and Stocker will help you find the perfect ring to suit that very special hand you're asking for. Love is in the details, which is why Hertin and Stocker offers so many ring choices, from the most affordable to all-out bling. They also offer financing and their signature free layaway. So, stop and see what's sparkling in those famous windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and find the perfect ring with help from Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Hello, and welcome to Elf Training 101. Today, we'll be learning about decorating Santa's castle.
Ooh, I love this stuff. Come on, let's put up the lights and get the big striped North Pole sign up on the roof.
Now, just a minute, Jingle. There are a few things we need to learn before we decorate.
Like how to string popcorn?
No, like safety procedures.
Safety? What?
Just like Linn County REC taught us. For example, we always check our lights to be sure they have a UL safety certification.
Got it. I'm gonna go get the hammer to get started.
And we never use metal staples or nails because that can damage the insulation on the wires.
Oh.
And when we put the North Pole sign on the roof, we make sure it's clear of overhead power lines.
Huh.
You see, safety is a big part of holiday decorating.
I guess I've got a lot to learn.
For homework, go to LynnCountyREC.com and get all the info.
Okay, is toy making next?
Next, we study elf fashions throughout the decades.
Power up safely this holiday season with help from Lynn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
With any dream, the wind won't always be at your back. The sun won't always be shining, and some rain is going to fall. American Family Insurance is like a good, solid roof that you can trust to protect your biggest dreams. With plans that could save you up to 23% when you bundle your home and auto. Also, you can continue to dream fearlessly, no matter what comes your way. American Family Insurance.
Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Contact Kirk Gustafson, agent at 1715 Johnson Avenue, Northwest in Cedar Rapids, or call 319-363-7214 today.
And our wrestling talk during the week on Tuesday and Wednesday is brought to you by Kurt Gustafson, Agency of American Family Insurance. Kurt is located on Johnson Avenue, Northwest in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Johnson Avenue Hy-Vee. Just a tremendous supporter of wrestling, and we do appreciate what he does. And before we get to KJ here, real quick, very good text here from 1477. It says, my son plays for a public middle school, and there's an observable discrepancy in the sports between the schools. Districts on the outskirts have significantly better facilities and more opportunities as far as club sports affiliated with schools at a younger age, and it shows in the competition. I will say the city of Cedar Rapids, Mark, and on, I think in the MVC, et cetera, has done really good job of trying to not have that, but it is there. It's even much more noticeable in central Iowa, in the Quad Cities, et cetera, much more noticeable.
And the texter is talking about schools like Cedar Falls, Bettendorf, Prairie, Linmar, where not only those coaches can go down to the lower levels and implement any offense, any philosophy that will carry them through to the varsity level. So I know we got to get to KJ, but great text.
Yeah. KJ Pilcher, very happy to have him back with us on Tuesdays here on the Gym Class, talking high school wrestling. We'll talk some college wrestling as well. And anything else on our minds that we want to discuss to the birthday boy? You're still celebrating, right? Happy birthday, man.
Yeah, I've barely celebrated on the actual day yesterday, but just another day. The years kind of bleed together, so I'm not a big big party on the old birthday, but I appreciate it. That was nice. Got a couple nice gifts. So I always like free stuff. So if you guys want to buy me something, go ahead and go out and get it. I got a big list I can text you if you want.
All right. Well, we'll see what we can do. We'll see what we can do down the line right there. Hey, before we get to wrestling, though, big day we've been talking about a little bit, a lot of interaction with our listeners out there about what happened with the Iowa High School Athletic Association today, coming down with the socioeconomic, clause, if you will. I guess your thoughts about it.
You know, it's interesting. I was listening earlier, and you mentioned Dan Sabers, and he was the one that really went public with this idea a while back, but the very first person I remember bringing this up kind of in private and off the record was Brian Webb, when he was the head coach at Cedar Rapids Jefferson. And Webb was somebody, you know, that was something that he was starting to see kind of develop. And he had mentioned how Minnesota had something similar, and that was something Iowa needed to incorporate in the future. And he was the first person that really kind of brought that up. And you know, you really see, you know, kind of a difference in the haves and the have-nots. And it's really blossomed probably over the last decade, or that gap has really grown over the last decade. And, you know, I'm sure Central Iowa hates hearing it, but, you know, the dominance in 5A in Central Iowa with those suburban Des Moines schools, those Western Des Moines schools, and you see the growth in places like, you know, Ankeny splitting into two school systems, and Waukee now, and you look at the facilities they have, just because, you know, the socioeconomic levels of those schools, and there really is an imbalance there. So, you know, this is a way to try to balance that out to where school districts that can afford college level, you know, strength and conditioning facilities. And, you know, there are still some schools that don't have strength and conditioning coaches, and you have entire staffs that have that in some places. So, you know, I think this is an attempt to try to balance that out for school districts that have the resources, you know, compared to the schools that don't have those resources, or athletes that don't have access to the same type of training or opportunities. So, you know, I think it's a necessary thing. The only thing I don't know if it really moves the gauge much. You know, you expect to see a lot of movement or a lot of things change, and when you look at it, it really doesn't. It doesn't really affect, you know, the majority of the schools. So, and of course, math, I'm terrible at math. That's why I was a communications major. So you start bringing in decimal points and percentages, and I get confused and dizzy and pass out. So I try to rely on Linder for stuff like that. And, you know, maybe I'm just kind of misreading the formula and everything, but I just don't see it really altering the station of a lot of teams. I think the majority of the teams that are in 5A are going to still be in 5A. There might be a couple that kind of fluctuate between 4A and 5A, same with 4A and 3A, where I think it might be biggest impact is actually in small schools, where you have a lot of schools that are close to the same beds numbers, you know, in Class A, 1A, and 2A, and might flip-flop some there. But I could just be misreading that. But I'm not surprised. This is something that's been bandied about for a long time. It just kind of didn't realize they were so close, and they're finally kind of taking a step toward implementing it. And boy, kind of a quick turnaround with it possibly being in effect the next year. But
well, when Lindy does all the facts and figures, send them to us, okay?
I'm sure he's probably already got him color-coded and ready to go already for the most part. He's about as organized and equipped to handle that as anybody. So I will definitely have him pass him along with his multicolored pen.
The vote coming up in a couple weeks on that subject. Let's turn to wrestling, where you had, sounds like anyway, a very enjoyable Sunday afternoon. Iowa State wrestling. It was Iowa by 3, pretty much decided on bonus points, but it was 5-5 in terms of bouts won, of 5 matches decided by 1 or 2 points. This is really, really cool, wasn't it?
It was a really entertaining match. And I'm just going to preface the whole thing with saying, usually I'm not a big fan of, you know, demonstrative demonstrations and, you know, kind of the theatrics around stuff. I like to go out, wrestle, you know, maybe fist pump to the crowd and hard five on the way back to your coach and your teammates, and that be it. There's a lot more than that Sunday from both sides. And it actually seemed organic and really kind of meshed in with the competition. And really highlighted just where this rivalry's at now. I think this was something that, you know, it's a highly competitive duel again. hasn't always been that way, especially since Tom Brands has been the Hawkeye head coach. You know, you have to go all the way back to Bobby Douglas for the last time that Iowa State won this duel. And it was the back and forth affair we thought we might get. You know, the biggest question coming in was, who are we going to see take the mat for both teams? You know, obviously the big question was the lower part of the lineup for Iowa. Will we see Spencer Lee at 125, Brody Teske at 133, and Real Woods at 141? You know, and then there was a question for Iowa State at 125. Tyson Terracini got banged up at the All-Star Classic and whether he would take the mat. And then the heavyweight, I think they were saying the heavyweight was beat up a little bit, but he wrestled. And, of course, I think it shows you just how important this duel was for both teams, even for number two Iowa, because you got both Spencer Lee and Real Woods, and both came up with victories. And, you know, it really was the back and forth affair all the way down, and some really tight matches came down to the final minute or overtime, and I think about seven, actually probably six out of the 10 matches, maybe five, maybe half of them. But, you know, big wins, obviously from Lee getting the major, that was huge. Of course, him just taking the mat, that's probably an eight-point swing at least, with no disrespect to Aiden Harris, who's been filling in while him and Drake Ayala were on the mend. But, you know, that was a huge swing there. And then, you know, you got Kobe Seabrook, too. I've said this multiple times since. He had a throw where both him and Jason Kreiser were parallel at one point, right in the center of the match. I mean, it was probably about as big of a move I think I've seen in this series since I started covering in about 2009, 2010. It was one of those things where I try to not react as a wrestling fan just to the action at press row, but it was hard not to yell wow after seeing those guys both go airborne and come down side to side, where it could have gone either way, and Kobe Seabrook came up on top and ended up providing a huge major decision there at 157, and Kobe Seabrook's turned into one of the more exciting wrestlers here early on. Now we'll see how he's able to do that against maybe some bigger talent after the break in the Big Ten season. But right now he's wrestling really well, and you know, David Carr was impressive for Iowa State. You know, he's just amazing and fluid to watch. You know, Marcus Coleman has picked up where he left off last year for Iowa State as an All-American, and he's poised to have his best year. Yonder Bastida with another big win against Jacob Warner, and then Tony Cassiope closing things out at heavyweight. I tell you what, I think fans appreciate Tony Cassiope, but the way he's come through in a couple big matches against Iowa State, Penn State, with the duel on the line in the final bout, I don't think people understand just how he delivers in high-pressure situations just because they expect him to go out there and win, and he does it.
Yeah. Before we leave that, you know, just keep pumping Real Woods and Swiderski out there, and I think that would be just entertaining 10 times.
Yeah, you talk about powder keg moments. I mean, that was one that, you know, probably about from the midway point on was you're just waiting to light the fuse. And you saw that and really kind of set the tone the rest of the way.
Yeah. Well, we got high school wrestling to talk about as well. First big weekend in Iowa City over at Coralville at Extreme Arena. They had the Gable Donnybrook over there, men's and women's divisions there, independents, all the biggies as far as the first weekend is concerned. And the Donnybrook, though, three states represented, all kinds of teams, all kinds of great wrestlers, and I guess that's a good place to start. What are some of the highlights of that one?
Well, actually, I think up to five states are actually.
Oh, wow.
You've got Illinois, you've got Wisconsin, Minnesota, Missouri, and I think there might have been a team from Nebraska there as well. But, all you really have to do is look at kind of two of the top teams coming in that we kind of expected to lead the way here this season, with Iowa City High and Linmar. The two Iowa recruits with Ben Keeter and Gabe Arnold, they really took care of business there, as a lot of expected. Linmar had a really good showing as well. I believe Grant Kress was in the finals. And one of the individuals that really kind of stands out to me, actually, Alex Pierce. We got to see him Thursday night, actually, before the Donnybrook, when we covered the Cedar Rapids Kennedy Iowa City West duel, and that was a competitor, a freshman at 106 that the coaches kind of said, hey, you're going to want to keep an eye on this guy. He's going to turn a lot of heads over the next 4 years, and he came in as a preseason nationals, I believe. Runner up, and he looked dominant Thursday, and then he went on to win the 106-pound title there for Iowa City West. So that's a pretty big accomplishment. Mentioned Keeter and Arnold, and they were joined by Cale Seaton at 126, and City High's got a 4 to 6 really elite big point scorers. With Keeter, Gabe Arnold, at 220 and 182. Then you got Cale Seaton at 126. You got Cale Kurtz, who had a top four finish as well, placed one spot behind Linmar's Braden Park. I think Tate Nakaborn was third also for Linmar, behind Grant Crest there at 152. But for City High, you add in Jake Mitchell and Ryan Ott, and that's going to be a good team in duels and tournaments throughout the season. Same with Linmar. Linmar is going to be about as deep and balanced as I've seen them in a long time. That's a team. I think both of these teams are kind of geared towards kind of a big finish. Make a run at a trophy when it's all said and done in February in Des Moines. And I think they're off to a good start. And then you look kind of at the girls' side of things there. Naomi Simon from Decorah, I think, was the big standout there. She won a title. She's one of the nation's best and has been. And she wrestled Janelle Avila from Iowa City West in the final. So you had two Eastern Iowa girls wrestling in the finals there at 170. And interestingly, Avila, her brother's Robert, who's wrestling now at Virginia, a three-time state champ and four-time finalist, and Justin Avila, who's a highly ranked sophomore and a state medalist last year. So she's part of that family. But she just announced she's going to go to Baker University, I believe down in Kansas City, or the Kansas area, to continue her wrestling career. So you had two of the better area girls of that weight in the finals of what's really probably a premier field in both the boys and the girls divisions.
KJ, I'm curious how you're going to spend your weekend aside from high school and college. Coralville holding the first of two straight years of men's and World Cup competition.
So I believe J.R. Ogden's going to head down to Coralville on Saturday to do something from the World Cup, which, you know, first and foremost, I love prep sports. So whenever I can find somebody to, you know, help, I always defer to the prep side because that's something where my passion really kind of, you know, that's where it stems from.
Well, the boss should pitch in. Come on.
Yeah, and so he's going to go down there on Saturday. I'll head down Sunday for the finals. Kind of funny how that worked, but, you know, I'm going to go down there. I'll head down to Mount Vernon, Mount Vernon's Invitational. Really enjoy that. Going down there, we'll have Mount Vernon, Lisbon. I believe West Liberty will be there, as well as Davenport Assumption. So a lot of good teams in the field down there. Marion and Xavier might be down there as well. At least they have been in the past. So I'll be at Mount Vernon on Saturday. Boss will take the World Cup on Saturday, and I'll finish up on Sunday.
Great to have all kinds of wrestling to cover. So that's the biggest thing. That's the big takeaway. So we look forward. We look forward to all that, man. And we're out of time, but thank you for the updates. And we will talk again next week. Always good to chat with you, and looking forward to another great year of high school wrestling. So we will talk to you then, man.
Sounds good. Really quick before I go, I just want to say on our KCRG 9.2 broadcast, we have implemented G. Wyatt Schultz, Performer of the Duel Award, to honor Wyatt, who is a contributor on this show.
Yep.
For many years. So it's just another way to honor him and his impact on the sport of wrestling. So if you get a chance to watch on Thursday night, we'll be at Mount Vernon for Clear Creek, Amanda and Mount Vernon, and it'll be a great show.
Yeah, very, very cool thing that you guys are doing with that. So keep it up. Thanks, KJ.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, KJ Pilcher, the Gazette, does a great job. One of the best as far as covering wrestling is concerned. We'll take a break, come back, wrap her up after this.
There's always something special at Siegel's.
Siegel's holiday savings start now. Our entire selection of designer, vintage, estate jewelry, bridal rings, watches, gold, and sterling are at 40 to 70% off retail savings. Tennis bracelets and diamond studs, both laboratory grown and mined, 50% off. No interest layaway and Synchrony financing available. Located one block south of Town and Country Shopping Center on First Avenue.
There's always something special at Siegel's.
Save big money at Menards and find the right tool for your drywall project with Senco. Senco tools make work easier and faster, along with quality you can trust. The Duraspin Auto Feed Screw Gun features blazing fast speed in a compact design. It's perfect for drywall, underlayment, and cement boards. Finish your renovations with the best tools for the job from Senco and find them at Menards. Plus, get a Menards gift card, the perfect gift this season.
Warm season's greetings to you all from Menards.
Back with you to wrap things up here on the Gym Class on KGYM. We've got the big Jimmy V Classic doubleheader for you this evening, starting at 6 o'clock, just ahead of the tip-off of Illinois and Texas, followed by Iowa and Duke, which is a part of our poll question at KGYMradio.com. Mark, it's, of course, with Hawkeye Title and Settlement as a sponsor.
Yep. Will Iowa beat Duke at Madison Square Garden tonight, yes or no?
Ooh. Patrick McCaffrey has got to have a good game. Iowa's got to hit it from the outside. They got to get this thing up tempo. And they don't have to stop Duke inside, but they have to not let Duke go crazy on the interior.
And they might.
And they might. Win or lose, this is going to help the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Be fun to watch.
We got the national broadcast for you coming up tonight with ESPN Radio right here starting at 6 o'clock. Should be a fun doubleheader. Mark Ironside, speaking of fun, he will join us coming up tomorrow. Chris Liss as well to answer your fantasy football questions. So tune in to the Gym Class tomorrow, and we'll recap Iowa and Duke. All right, Mark, talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds great. Talk to you then.
Todd and Alex coming your way next right here on KGYM. Have a great night, everybody.
Progressive is America's number one motorcycle insurer, so we understand motorcycles. No, really, we have a bike translator.
Okay, so this bike says she is struggling with her place in the motorcycle community. Well, she says she hasn't peaked yet, but she's having a little epiphany, okay? Oh, that maybe life itself is the peak.